Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 186. 86. We're one away from the one where you get to reference things.
Don't you have that written down?
Yes, I do.
Then how do I know it?
I don't know, because you've just got a mind for remembering what episode we're up to.
All right, it might be because of where we're recording. Should we tell everyone the exciting news?
Yeah, so we are now officially in our new studio.
Oh, it's so fancy.
It's super fancy.
And it's so fresh that the paint is only 80% dry.
Yeah, I think the paint fumes might get to us, but we'll see how we go.
Well, I think it should be a quick episode.
I think so too. But have you noticed every iteration of either a studio setup or wherever we record, we get further and further away from each other?
We do. We're quite far. Hello.
What do you reckon? 3 meters?
Ooh, just under? 2.5.
Yeah.
It's still a good distance.
It's a fair way.
It's enough.
Hello.
It's enough. I'm in some bright spotlights.
Yeah, you are. Do you want any of them turned off? It's just that we've only got one light in here at the moment.
No, you get my good side.
Because if I turn those lights off, which are studio lights, by the way, I wouldn't be able to see you.
Correct.
You'd just be a voice.
I would be practicing Korax's tenants, the leader of the Raven Guard.
Right.
Yes.
I was like, I need more information.
Slinks so through the shadows.
There's a bit of context for me.
There you go.
My quiz for you today is a good one.
Good.
I had this moment, this epiphany where I went, oh, that's going to be not only very easy to Google, but I think there's enough clues in there that you should be able to get a lot of them.
Sweet. I like the sound of that. I've come up with a new segment.
Oh, I like a new segment.
We'll get to that at the appropriate place.
Fantastic. Is that whenever you remember to do it?
Yep.
Perfect. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. You may have noticed that when you woke up this morning that the sky was the ground and the ground was the sky. Authorities are not sure quite yet why or how to fix it. They have brought in the best IT consultants from around the town, and their first plan of attack is to do a hard reboot of ourselves and see if that fixes it. They have brought in the best IT consultants from around the town, and their first plan of attack is to do a hard reboot of ourselves and see if that does the trick. So if everyone can fall asleep no later than 11 p.m. tonight and get up no later than 7:45 the next day, that would be great. If for some reason that doesn't work, then preliminary plans are to have all residents run out onto the streets, scream, flail their arms around and scream, "Why me?" Once again, that would be great. With the visit of highly esteemed actress Pamela Anderson to Watchersville next week, tattoo parlours are booking up fast as people rush out and get a barbed wire tattooed around their biceps. If you are desperate and have not yet organised yourself a reputable person with ink and the weird jabby needle thing they use, Shonky Malone says he learnt a thing or two when he was last in the slammer and is willing to give tattooing a go for the right price. Like we said, if you are desperate. The school canteen is bringing back an all-time favourite for this month only. Chicken corn cob on a roll with sauce. A lunch that many an adult in this county enjoyed in their younger years, the school believes it's high time the youth of today get a taste of what the old-timers used to order. At this stage, they only have enough to cater for actual students, but will be opening up the public canteen window on the street side of the building for grown-ups who need to see if the lunch is as tasty as they remember. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. Let's get into the news.
Let's do it. I was excited to see that Boba Fett has wrapped filming.
That's good news because you know what? I'd forgotten they were going to do that until I rewatched the second season of Mandalorian.
Sure. Yeah. Well, they promised right at the end of that Boba Fett will return in December.
Yep.
And sure enough, they finished filming and it will be premiering in December, which leads nicely into my next news story, which so Disney Plus Originals, any original programming they've releasing, they're moving to Wednesdays completely because Loki, as the trickster that he is, they thought, oh, we'll premiere that on Wednesday and see how it went.
Yeah.
And it went so well and, you know, got a big ratings bump from the move.
Nice.
That Wednesday is their day now. And it makes a lot of sense because Amazon Prime HBO Max, Netflix, they all drop everything on Fridays.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Well, it's a good idea because you catch people going into the weekend, feed up. It's a great time to start a binge show.
Yeah, sure, sure. But
Disney aren't doing binge
week
shows.
Week to week.
Yes. So they're claiming Wednesday for the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty cool. And I liked that I could watch Loki last night.
Yep. I watched it last night as well. So we can discuss it later on. I just think it's really interesting that they are the first in the streaming world to decide that maybe we won't all release everything all at once.
Yeah. Look, I think NBC used to have their must-see comedy Thursday nights. And you
that's
know
right.
Network television, that was their whole thing. They made blocks, programming blocks. And, you know, the shift to Friday made a lot of sense when it was you can choose whenever you like.
Mm.
But as you say, they're standing out from the crowd and releasing week to week anyway. Why not do a different day? They can claim that day and stand out.
Midweek is perfect because even if you're not going to get to it midweek, you still got, you know, Thursday. Or if you want to watch it on Friday, you can. Like that, it's not like the old days of network television where you either watched it or you had to tape it or you missed it.
Yep.
So perfect. Yeah, super happy with that. Speaking of happy, Hordor is back.
Good.
Sort of.
DJing?
No, not this time. He's back acting. Christian Narron, I think, is his last name.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to star in a pirate comedy for HBO. It's a series. It's called Our Flags Mean Death. This is one I reckon you and I are going to like because...
Is he playing a character called Hodor?
It really should be. Rhys Darby is in it. Taika Waititi is in it.
I have heard about this, yes.
This is our wheel bag.
Wheelhouse?
House, thank you. I was thinking like bag
swag
of treasure.
Bag I like it. I just needed to... What
I made
the
one
fuck
up.
You were talking about.
I made it up. Made it totally up.
Paint.
Yeah, yeah. We're just playing everything on paint today. So he'll be. So Taika Waititi is going to be Blackbeard, and a few of the others. I don't know any of their characters. Like, they're probably made up. But gosh, I can't wait for this to happen.
Nice.
It sounds new, so we've probably got a while to wait, right? But if it's anything like what we do in the shadows, but pirates.
Yep.
I don't see anything wrong.
Be good fun.
What do you reckon the chances are of a Matt Berry cameo? As a pirate.
Oh, he'd have to be a rich English, you know.
Aristocrat.
Yes, that they're robbing.
Yeah.
Begone, scoundrels. That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see that Wellington Paranormal is premiering in the States very soon?
Get ready, America. You're in for a treat.
Yeah. So I think it's the same network that show What We Do in the Shadows. They're that keen for some more that they've bought the rights. And I think there's three.
Yes, I think there's three seasons. Yeah. So you've got a fair bit of binging to get through.
And it's great. Enjoy that.
It's one of those shows where... And I find myself gravitating towards these more and more recently, where if you're just like, I just want to sit down and watch television, but I don't want anything light, but I don't want anything too real.
Yeah.
Just give me something silly. And that's it's perfect. It's a great show.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So I know we talked about Code 8, the sequel, a few weeks ago. I was very impressed to see that Netflix has picked up the exclusive worldwide streaming rights for that.
Cool.
So I think they'll still do a theatrical release. It's going to be one of those type ones, especially in Canada because it's performed so well there. That's a big platform for them. The last one, I think, was on Amazon. I can't remember where I saw it. No, I bought it on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they did a day and date release.
Sure. Would you go to the movies to see that film? Like, is it the kind of film that would look good on screen, big screen?
I think so. It's one of those ones that looks great on Netflix.
Yep.
And it would look, fine. It's not a big, big budget.
Okay.
They've got a bit of budget.
Yep.
And they make it work.
They've probably got more of a budget for the sequel.
I think so. I think, they've boosted it up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's cool.
That's great. Well, now you've got options.
So it's going to be a while till that comes out. And by then, it looks like the States is going to be completely vaccinated back to it, and we might be going back into lockdown now, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's not be.
Move on. I got Nicolas Cage stuff. He's going to star in a film called Butcher's Crossing. It's an adventure movie set in the Wild West of, like, the American frontier. It's apparently adapted from a book from the 1960s, which if I've got my cowboy movies and TV shows right, that was around the time that there were thousands of TV shows and movies that were all
bonanza.
Yeah, and whatever. What was his name? The guy that was always a cowboy in movies.
John Wayne.
John Wayne. Oh my gosh, I'm getting all of the names mixed up today. It's the paint. Shooting set to begin in October, so you know we'll have a while before this comes out. But
yeehaw.
I think whenever I see Nicolas Cage being attached to something, I think this is the storyline, but it's also going to be weird.
Yeah.
Because that's what he likes. What he does. That's his thing. So look out for that Nicolas Cage
film. Do we know where that's filming? There might be film. Look, it would probably take a little while if they want to hold off, but there's a new filming location coming to Australia. Have you heard about this?
No, please do go on.
Oh, it's a big deal. Russell Crowe. He's because he lives up in Coffs Harbour.
Yep.
He's joined up with the guy that runs the massive resort there, and they're building a huge, and I didn't write down the numbers because I forgot to, but like massive production and post-production facility.
Oh, wow.
Like to rival Movie World. So not a theme park.
Yeah, right.
But all the filming space at Warner Brothers.
Filming space. And if this guy owns like a big area, then they could provide, you know, short-term accommodation for
cast and
crew.
That's the whole point, is that the resort, a lot of it won't be accessible to the public anymore. Mm,
that's cool.
So bubbles can be maintained if needed and things like that.
Yep.
But it's also beachfront resort stuff. So it's very, very desirable for international actors, actresses to come and work here. So it sounds pretty cool.
That sounds really cool.
Be a while off. But I saw something like $440 million or jeez. Like
they're fitting it out.
It's going to be a big, big deal.
Wow, that's impressive.
I believe the intention is to try and be half indoor studios like a Movie World and half exterior locations similar to
Like Warner Brothers or Universal. Well,
they've got
or
some
whatever.
Of that, but the ranch in Hawaii where they filmed Jurassic Park and Lost and all these shows, and you never realize it's the same jungle, but it's always the same jungle. I think they're looking to do some locations like that because there's
a good idea.
Beautiful mountain ranges not far away, fantastic beaches, forest. There's all sorts of different exterior locations.
And any films or TV shows that are really centered around bananas can be filmed there as well because that's the banana capital of the state.
It's the big banana.
That's right, exactly. So it's going to work out for everyone. No, that is exciting.
It is. It's very cool. You know, and then of course you get people coming, will the production bubble pop here in Australia? So, well, more facilities is not a bad thing.
Yeah, if you build them, then there's more of a reason and more of an enticement to
that's it. And just the sheer fact that it's a production and post-production facility, we don't have that anyway.
All in one.
We don't have that in Australia. Everything's scattered. So, you know.
Yeah, that makes life.
Good on you, bloody Rusty.
Oh, God, he's a good bloke.
You reckon the Irwins will be involved somehow? They'll shoot a show there or something.
They'll do something for sure.
Bob needs a spin-off.
He's a busy bloke.
Isn't he?
Busy bold bloke.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
I saw this on Deadline the other day, but Kaylee and Pete Davidson are in negotiations to star in a romantic comedy called Meet Cute.
Mm.
In the article, the film, they kind of gave a synopsis and it's like a wild, inventive deconstruction of the romantic comedy built around the question, what would you do if you could travel to your loved one's past, heal all their traumas, fix all their problems and change them into the perfect partner? Would you still be interested in them?
So she's going to go and try and fix
Pete. Exactly.
What's going on with that guy, eh?
I don't know.
Because like a few years ago, everyone was trashing him. Now he's getting in some movies.
Yep.
He's not sure if he's back for another season of SNL.
He's been there for a while. What, 2014 or something?
This will be his seventh season.
Yeah. But it's a fair – but it's funny, like SNL seems to be the kind of show that hold on to their cast longer than other shows would.
Sure. If you're – one of the few that succeed. There's plenty that stay in the background and might get to play cop number three for a season and then disappear. So that's, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm hoping Suicide Squad is great, because, and I'm hoping his role's not huge. But what I've said, there was a new trailer that came out this week, and he gets another little bit in there. It was pretty funny.
I think it's funny that he's in that movie and she is the voice of Harley Quinn in the animator. So they're kind of 6 degrees there. I'm just totally fascinated by the fact that she's the standout, the breakout cast member from Big Bang.
Oh, you wouldn't put Sheldon above?
I don't think so at this point, because she's the voice of Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
She had that show, The Flight Attendant.
Yeah.
Which was, I think she was either nominated or won awards for this, and now she's starring in films. I think it's her.
Jim Parsons, he's been in movies for a couple of years.
Yeah, true.
Production. Look, I'm completely with you.
Yeah.
Galecki's getting no work.
And he was the name going in.
Yep. The one that plays Howard, I don't know what, haven't seen him in too much since. No. And I used to see him in a lot of stuff beforehand. And the other guy, he did a voice in Trolls.
And the, what was her name, Bernadette? The other
Melissa Rauch.
I've not looked her up, but I reckon she's got a voice for like animated characters stuff. She'd been in a lot of work.
Yeah, she's been in some of the DC movies and stuff.
Mm.
She did a weird nymphomaniac gymnast comedy.
Yeah. Oh, comedy, okay. There's a lot involved in that sentence.
There was, wasn't
I'm
there?
I'm not quite sure how to take that. Yeah, so if you're a big fan of Kaylee or Pete, look out.
Woo! Speaking of things to look out for, Transformers 7 is progressing, and half of the, you know, the subtitle name I'm about to share, and half of it gets me really excited, the second half.
Okay,
unfortunately, the first half of it uses two words where I can't think of a single film that's a follow-up, a sequel, or part of a trilogy that uses these two words that is good. Transformers,
yes.
Rise of...
Okay.
The Beasts. So Rise of makes me nervous.
Right, Rise of is such a standard movie.
But Beast, they're doing bloody Beast Wars.
So, I mean, I don't know anything about the Transformers world. Last time I was involved in being interested in Transformers, I think it was in year two.
Okay, so the Michael Bay Transformers films were set in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones with Shia LaBeouf and then Marky Mark.
Yes.
And then a few years ago they did Bumblebee.
Yes.
And that was set back in the 80s.
Right.
And it was kind of a reboot, but also kind of tied together with the rest.
Okay.
This one is going to be set in the 90s in Brooklyn.
Ooh.
So it's following more Bumblebee timeline. However, it's a bit confusing because Beast Wars, there's no human in the animated series of it, right? There's no humans.
Mm-hmm.
It's set prehistoric times. Transformers come to Earth and there's no vehicles. So what do they copy? Beasts.
Dinosaurs.
Well, we already have Grimlock and the Dinobots.
Dinobots. I forgot about them.
I'm not going to go too deep.
I feel like you've spoken.
But there's Optimus Primal, who is a.
Oh, that's a good take.
Think Optimus Prime, but as a gorilla.
Nice.
Also, you know, there's a rhino and a scorpion and ones that transform nicely into
Is there
toys.
A mammoth, like a woolly?
Yeah, hell yeah. So how this all ties together, don't know, still very early days, but I'm fucking here for it because Beast Wars was great.
It sounds like Michael Bay is not going to be a part of this one.
I think he's just executive producing again, getting his check.
Yeah, fair enough. So that's obviously not out for a while either.
Nah, that's
we're kind
way
of
off.
holding out for that.
Mm.
Another one that I never believed was actually a real thing, but it's obvious now that it is, but Indiana Jones 5.
Yes.
In production, which we knew, but he's injured his shoulder whilst rehearsing for a fighting scene.
Oh.
So the director...
Indiana.
I know. Director James Mangold said that they're going to continue to film but work around his injuries and get back to the fighting scenes later. But do you remember he was injured? It was like one of those... Oh, it's a door or something on the set
on
of...
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might have been the Millennium Falcon. I don't know what it was, but
do you think it's just that he's old?
Well, isn't he like 78 or something? I really didn't think that they would have another Indiana Jones. I thought it would be an Indiana Jones reboot kind of thing, or
There was rumours of it being Chris Pratt for so long, but the star has faded from Chris Pratt a bit. I don't think he'd be right anymore. Everyone kind of thought when Shia LaBeouf was his kid that they were setting up to hand over to him. And
maybe they were. No, they might have been back when they started, but yeah.
That was the intention, but people did not want Mutt.
Yeah.
Mutt Williams, what a dumb name.
With his
it's
cool
because
bike.
Indiana was named after the dog. No, that's the joke. It's that Sean Connery named Harrison Ford Indiana after their dog, Indiana.
I have no recollection of that from the movie.
Oh, it's in the third one, Last Crusade. There's a big running joke about it.
That was the one with River Phoenix. Yeah. Well, that was the last time they tried to do a...
that's Young Indy.
Doesn't work.
I don't know. There was many, many seasons of that Young Indiana show. Young Indy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's probably I don't care enough about Indiana Jones to why.
Then you're not interested in the fact that it'll be out on the 29th of July, 2022.
I am not interested. My dad probably will be.
He'll go and check it out. Would he invite you, or does he know your interest in Indiana Jones is minimal and can't be bothered watching you huff and be bored?
He'd probably still invite me.
Okay.
It's not that I'm against and I dislike. It's just... Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's not your thing.
He's beloved by an older generation.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's more reflective of the things they grew up with.
Mm-hmm. And it was set in World War II and, yeah.
I hate snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes?
Have you got any other new stories?
I got a trailer.
I've got one new story and then we'll get into the trailer. One Deal. Last one. This is just a quick one I saw. So the original cast of the Brady Bunch are going to team up with some of the past contestants of RuPaul's Drag Race in a new sort of show called, or I don't know if it's new, I haven't kept up with RuPaul's Drag Race, called Dragging the Classics. So they're going to kind of recreate the episode where Jan Brady is tired of living under her older sister's shadow, Marsha, and puts on a wig, a darker wig, and tries to be like all like moody and stuff.
Right.
So what they're going to do is they're going to get half contestants, half old cast to recreate and be characters from that episode. It just sounds like a bit of fun, and I think if you ask any cast member from the Brady Bunch, if they'll do something, they always say
yes. They seem pretty available.
They always say yes. What was the trailer you wanted to have a chat about?
Oh, look, I think we might have mentioned it before, but there's a film coming to Amazon Prime in just a few weeks called The Tomorrow War. This is Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen any trailers, but there was a new trailer this week that it's looking pretty...
It looks good.
Yeah, it could be a bit of mindless fun. So,
yeah, right.
It's got people from the future come back to now and like come out of a wormhole and say humanity's about to die in the future, aliens have invaded, we need you to come fight.
Cool.
So they're pulling soldiers from the past to fight in the future.
I'll watch this.
Yep.
Sure. Sit me down, I'll have some popcorn.
Yeah,
I'll watch this.
And Chris Pratt standing up for his family, he's heading out for it, and so it just looks like they're going to get bamboozled in the future. And I think the trailers are being quite cagey with the actual tone of the film,
okay,
because every bit of the trailer so far with any depth seems like it probably happens in the first third.
Yeah, right.
It's directed by the guy that did the Lego Batman movie.
Sure.
So I have a feeling that what you're picturing, which doesn't happen in the trailer, but of things escalating and going further and they've got to keep going further back to get people. I have a feeling I just want to see, you know, someone with a samurai sword running next to – you know, Zulu warriors.
Yeah, from medieval times. That sounds almost Bill and Ted kind of excellent adventure.
So it might go that way.
Imagine having Napoleon Dynamite there.
It might not go that way.
Not Dynamite, Napoleon Bonaparte.
It might just be
a serious kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I've got my fingers crossed that it goes off the rail. There are a couple of very funny bit players that you've seen in lots of other things that I'm not sure if they're going to be like Suicide Squad cannon fodder.
Right, right.
But yeah, there's...
But how fun's that?
I know. There's some fun looking people in this film.
When did you say it's coming out?
I think it's like July 3rd.
Cool.
It's really, really soon.
That is really soon.
Yeah. And it was going to be a big cinema release and then with things going the way they were, they sold it to Amazon as a, you know...
Kind of like that Greenland movie.
Correct.
Mm.
Got a watching suggestion? email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's get into some watching suggestions.
You know what I've been enjoying not watching this week?
Any zombie stuff?
Correct. No Walking Dead. It's all been live people or dead, not reanimated people.
Yeah, that's right. Dead. Well, yeah. I was just thinking about what I had listened to and I was like, oh, hang on a second. But no, I don't think there were any zombies in it. It was a lot. I listened to The Sandman.
Oh, yes.
Neil Gaiman and obviously DC. Had you read the comics?
No. Nah.
My goodness, the amount of voices in that.
Sure. I don't mess with Gaiman much. I thought we'd discussed it.
Yeah, but you still knew some Gaiman stuff.
Yeah, I know stuff because it's one of those things that you're supposed to know.
Yeah,
you're supposed to love Sandman. And by all accounts, brilliant read.
Yeah.
Just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, you can't be, but if there's so many things that you are constantly, you personally, I mean, constantly keeping up with in the comic world, like you don't want to have to add a new one unless you're really super psyched about it. Yeah. I get it. So Neil Gaiman is the narrator, which suits, and I've heard him narrate, I think maybe the Norse mythology one that he.
Sure. This Beowulf? Because I went to a panel with him in the States when Beowulf was about to come out as a movie, and he's a great speaker.
Yeah, he's got a great tone and, yeah, great. But James McAvoy plays Morpheus, Sandman. I was listening to Death, the character, and I'm like, okay, I've got to IMDb this because I know her voice. Buddy Kate Dennings.
Sure.
I was like, of course it was. There was another one later on in one of the, I mean, they're episodes. They really are. They're episodes because they're comic, you know. And I was like, that's Joanna Lumley. That 100% is Joanna Lumley. And the hilarious thing was she was playing Lady Joanna, which made it even more obvious. But Andy Serkis, Riz Ahmed, there was another actress who was in Jam in Jerusalem with Jennifer Saunders and Joanna Lumley. I just can't think of her name. She was the main character, but she plays a character that comes in and out. I'm like, who is this? I know that, you know, when you're listening and you're like, oh my gosh, I know the voice. But what I really liked about the Sandman was the production value. They made it an audio drama. That's what it was. It wasn't just Neil Gaiman talking and telling you the story. There was sound effects. Things were coming in and out. The characters were all there. It was awesome. And I was doing quite mundane-y kind of stuff, you know, cleaning up old offices and whatnot. And to have that go, you know, to be listening to that just whiled away the hours of getting stuff done. It was great. It's long, obviously, because it's several episodes, several comics, issues, whatnot, but very worth it.
Nice.
Yeah,
How long are we talking?
I think it was about 15 hours.
Sure.
I think it was about that long. Yeah. I've started Red Rising now, and that's about the same length. So I think my next audiobook's going to be like a really short one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I usually mix them up.
Not having kids, you have a very different time frame of something you can enjoy.
Well, yeah, definitely. It's usually – so what I do in the mornings when I'm driving to work is I'll listen to a podcast.
Yep.
And then when I'm driving back, when I can focus more, like my brain is not focused on what I need to do that day, that's when I listen to the audio book. Sure. So depending on how much traffic there is, I can concentrate and get through a fair chunk of it. What have you been watching?
I'll tell you what I've been watching after I've introduced the brand new segment.
This is brand it, new it's segment. Happening. I was wondering when it was going to be. I was like waiting during the news segment, but no, it's now.
It's now.
Tom, what's this segment called?
It's called Tom's Fun Facts of Things That I Learned From a Meme.
Oh, I love it. I do love a good trivial fact.
Yeah, and this is a very, very trivial one, but I saw it and I was like, oh. Good fact.
Yeah, yeah.
People who have been to the moon, 12. People who have won Takeshi's castle, 8.
Really?
That's your fun fact that I learned from a meme.
Da-da-da-da-da. Just, I needed that note to be like.
Extra note on the end.
Yeah. Okay, only 8?
Only
That's
8.
Remarkable.
Mm.
Also, 12 is kind of crazy too. I would have thought it'd be more.
To the moon. I thought it was less. We gave up on that a long time ago.
Yeah, but it felt like, I mean, I wasn't there at the time, but it felt like people were up there all the, like, taking off.
A lot of space gear.
Yeah. I guess they never actually went there. Yeah. I mean, there's only a certain amount of time you can go there before you're like, well, we've done this. Let's go do something else.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough of the facts.
Oh, I like those facts. That's really good. Okay, so tell me what you've been watching. Yeah.
So, you know, I've been very much enjoying the Dark Side of the Ring, wrestling behind the scenes documentary series that happens on Vice. Well, this week they had one a little bit different. It's called Vice Versa China. Mm-hmm. Now, China was a female wrestler, absolutely massive in the 90s.
She was the female, you know, like the famous female wrestler. Like,
correct.
If you were to ask me now or even then, name a female wrestler, I think she's the only one I would know.
So she was the Stone Cold of the Attitude Era, female Stone Cold of Attitude Era, known as the Ninth Wonder of the World. And before that, female wrestlers, we'll put in inverted commas, were valets. And, you know, they were the manager or support the man. And occasionally there'd be girl fights. Mm. And when I say girl fights, I mean slapping.
Oh, yeah.
That
hair
sort of
pulling, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Whereas China was the first female wrestler to come up who was built like a man.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, but before the female wrestlers before her, were they not as physically strong?
At all.
Yeah.
Quite diminutive. Okay. And it was about being, you know, the light.
Yep.
Handbag on the man's arm.
Sure.
That type of thing. Whereas her whole deal was, I came to wrestle men. Mm-hmm. I'll fight women if I have to get my way up.
Yep.
But I'm here to wrestle men. And so this documentary, I'm not going to lie, it was a very difficult watch. She died in 2016, was likely an accidental overdose. Mm. But the reason why this is not part of the regular Dark Side of the Ring series is that so she had fallen off the face of the planet and gone to Japan and lived in Japan for 4 or 5 years and was an English teacher there.
Oh, right.
And she was basically talked into coming back to the States and they were going to follow her with a documentary crew for a year doing the Resurrection of China was the name of the documentary.
Right.
And like it says at the beginning of the documentary, 6 days in, this was off the rails.
Oh, okay.
So she came back and was clearly not ready to be back, had a very manipulative manager who was forcing her to travel all over the country for Comic-Cons and things like that, clearly got back into pills and alcohol very, very quickly.
Damn.
And, yeah, this documentary, so the guy who was the director of the documentary was a heroin addict and was supplying her with things, and she in turn was supplying him with pills, so he wasn't interested in cleaning her up. The manager was clearly exploiting her for money and to try and get some fame for himself. Both of them end up losing any control of the film by the end of it, and the producer steps in to take over the film and paints the two of them in a really, really negative light. Mm. The director ends up going to jail for possession and distribution. Like everyone around this woman was a toxic, toxic influence. And then the documentary peels back further of, that's been this poor lady's life since she was about 4.
Oh, damn.
Her father was a grifter. He talked into leaving the mother. She didn't see her mother for 30-something years. They were about to reunite and she died. All this was so really, really difficult watch. But at the same time, a very cool study in what happens when you've peaked.
Yeah, right.
And you've achieved what you set out to do.
Yep.
And you can't find another goal.
So do you find out or do you have any idea during the documentary if she was happy and content in Japan?
No. No, as in not particularly. She was broke.
Okay.
She was
working
only to fund her habits.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And her visa expired, so she was in hiding there. All this just a terrible. And
yeah.
There's footage of her like strung out asking the camera crew for help. Won't someone help me? I need to get better. No one will help. And then she died 2 days later.
Jeez.
So yeah, it's a tough watch. And they keep juxtaposing between how big and, you know, physically perfect she was in the 90s when she was driven. And that, you know, they point the finger very bluntly, I won't say who at. If you know the story, you know who. But point the finger at a few particular wrestlers and people involved in the company for breaking her. And then, you know, she ends up doing porn and it just
– Yeah, that's horrible.
Then she's on the surreal life and there's whole sections with Dr. Drew talking about addiction.
Oh, of course, surreal life Dr. Drew. Yeah, right. Maybe that's where I saw her on the Surreal Life.
It wouldn't surprise me because she was like out of control.
Yeah. So that when you watched it, obviously you must have known going in it was going to be a difficult watch.
Yeah.
Was it more difficult than you expected?
So much more.
Damn.
So much more.
Yeah. So you didn't know that – you didn't know much about what was – told to you during the doco, or were you kind of aware of it?
I was aware of pretty much everything up until the end of her wrestling career. Then she disappeared for a while, then popped up doing some porn and like
this sort
of
stuff.
And so you'd hear a smattering of something every few years. But this happens with a lot of the wrestlers of they disappear for a while and then get involved in a fight or something happens and you hear about,
Yeah, I forgot about that person.
So there was one guy named Perry Mason who dropped off the face of the planet. And he used to be a psycho wrestler anyway, but he ended up living under a bridge doing heroin for years and all this sort of stuff. So these sorts of things do come back around. But all the circumstances of her trying to resurrect any sort of career, the other part that's quite difficult to hear about is the WWE refused to add her to the Hall of Fame. And their side is quite logical, which is like, look, if you look up The Rock. Every picture you see is either him in movies or him wrestling, and it's appropriate. We're a family-friendly show. Unfortunately, if you jump on Google and type in China, the results are not family-friendly.
Sure.
And, you know, there's other people in the documentary saying, yeah, but you've got people on there that are accused murderers, or, you know, in the Hall of Fame, and there's no one in there is peachy clean. And the other part is that China at her peak was dating Triple H and he's now married to Vince McMahon's daughter.
So if he doesn't want to remember her.
Yes, if he doesn't want to and if the McMahons don't want to, then she won't be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, amazing watch. Mind-blowing. I learned a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah.
A lot.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Grandthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So I finished watching the second season of Ragnarok on Netflix, which is the Norwegian fantasy drama about their gods and their giants and all set in a small town where the first season took place a lot in a high school, so it kind of almost felt Riverdale-y, but not at the same time. Where this one, they kind of stepped away from the high school, and I thought at times maybe they'd actually finished their schooling, but they hadn't. It was just that they were focusing on other stuff. Very slow burner, I must say, and I think that's kind of risky if you're a Netflix show.
Sure.
You're two seasons in and you still haven't finished telling your story at the end of season two. How do you know you're going to get that third season? I'm sure if it was any other, streaming service or network, but...
You're nervous.
I'm nervous we're not going to see the end of it. It was fine. It was an easy watch. I was watching it, often whilst having lunch, so it wasn't... The stakes weren't high for me, but I'll be interested to see if they get that third season. And if they do, I feel like they kind of need to wrap it up.
Sure.
I was just interested to watch a show that was based on, Old Norse gods and giants that wasn't a Marvel thing.
Sure.
And it was, made by the people who are living in the lands where these gods and giants were supposedly existing.
Authentic.
Very authentic. That's right. All the actors do their own English dubbing.
Yep.
Which is, I think, great. It's also very interesting to see their accents in English. You can tell when some of them have been taught English and some have been taught American English.
Sure.
And then there are some that have that real sort of that What do you mean? You know, like the up and down inflection. Yeah, those up and down inflections that I guess Australians have as well, but, you know, Norwegians do as well. If you've seen the first season, probably check out the second, but there's probably other stuff we could watch.
So. That was a ringing endorsement.
Yeah. I don't know. The second season was a bit slow. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
You know what wasn't slow?
What?
This latest episode of Loki.
Hoo-wee, there was a lot going on,
wasn't
there?
Didn't it grab us and shove us down the wormhole into a train or something?
We were super busy watching that.
It was the best Doctor Who episode ever.
I quite enjoyed the fact that they're clearly using that Mandalorian, you know, back screen. But I did notice around his hair, not anyone else's, but around his hair, you kind of see the blue screeniness of it.
Okay. He has got stringy, unkempt hair.
I think it was wreaking havoc a little bit, but, you know, it wasn't noticeable enough that you'd be like, come on, this looks a bit shoddy. The backgrounds in this episode were amazing.
They were pretty cool. Running through that city at the end when it was destroying.
Yeah.
That's the most epic action moment Loki's gotten in any of the movies and stuff like that. I thought it was, pretty solid. So her name is Sylvie. And anyone who's read Young Avengers should be going like, oh, cool.
Okay, because I wanted to know more about her because it must have been in the second episode we met her.
Yes,
and and the way she was revealed was almost like, to me who haven't read the comics, it was almost like, oh, I think we're supposed to know who she is or at least have an idea, but obviously I didn't. And sometimes I feel like I miss out on stuff until I speak to you.
So, she's presented as an alternate version of Loki.
Yeah.
But that's not confirmed.
Well, she also said she don't call her Loki.
Yes.
Or she said something along those lines.
Yes. So it could be that she's an alternate Loki. On the other hand, it could be that I can't remember exactly. I think Loki gives her some of his power.
Because her power is a bit different to his.
Yes. And so he gifts some of the power and that's so she's not a variant. She's not a version of Loki, but she's, you know, descended or, you know, family tree down from Loki. So maybe more of that type thing.
How many more episodes? There's not many in this. Is it five or six?
I think it's six all up. Okay. I think three more episodes.
So we've got three more. We're halfway through. Things are definitely happening.
Yes. That girl who at the very beginning, you know, the TVA agent that she's messing with the mind, the girl with the dreadlocks, she's from Hellboy.
She was also in Utopia, Amazon's Utopia. Yeah. Yes.
She's great. Sasha Lane. A lot of time.
She's pretty cool. So as soon as I saw her in, I think it was the second episode, I thought, oh, we're going to see more of her.
Yeah.
And the way they start, I think they started the episode in her controlled dream.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
Very odd.
Yeah, very odd.
Be interesting to see what happens next episode. We won't spoil the ending in case you haven't heard, but just where do they go? What do they do?
I have found the filming of this, like the cinematography, really different from the other two shows. Yeah.
So
I'd say this is the most striking.
There's a lot of very claustrophobic feeling to it. I like that.
Yes, very much so. We did not see Owen Wilson this episode, did we?
We did not.
But didn't think so.
There was that big revelation that was just casually tossed aside that everyone working at the TVA is a variant themselves.
Yeah.
So maybe we're going to see a bunch of Owen Wilsons.
I'd be all right with that. Mm-hmm. Surely one of them's going to say well at some time.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah, so next Wednesday we'll be able to watch it.
Yes.
Anything else?
Nah, that'll do.
This is quiz time. This is the quiz I reckon you're going to go really well at.
All right.
I've called it Movie Last Lines.
Boop.
What's the movie that the
this is the last line?
These are the last line from these movies. So they're movies that you know. I haven't gone,
you haven't gone like Rosebud.
This is the 1952 Spanish film. Yeah. All right. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Is that Back to the Future part two?
I think it's part two.
Yes, because they're going.
And who says it?
Doc.
Yeah.
played by Christopher Lloyd.
That's right, because he went into, or was it the first one? Now I'm not sure.
You're right, it is the first one because they fly.
He flies off. Yeah, because at the end of the second one.
Train.
He's already gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's already gone. All right, here's one. Where we go from here is a choice I leave to you.
Is it Matrix?
Yes, good call. Oh, that was good. Thanks. You had your eyes closed. I knew you. It was sparking something in your brain.
I was imaging in my head. I'm like, oh yeah, the camera pans up from the phone booth. Goes pull, pull, yeah. Okay, and then Raging Against the Machine's about to get,
exactly. Such a great closing song for a film. I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Early 90s.
Yeah, it's Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, I was going to say Hannibal, but no.
No, it was the first one. Yeah, first one. Oh, this is a classic. Kevin, what did you do to my room?
That is what Buzz says at the end of Home Alone.
Absolutely. Well done.
Kevin, what did you do to my room?
He did a fair bit of pillaging from all Buzz's
and
room.
He let the tarantula out.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. All right. This one's going to be – I'm going to have to retract a word because it's going to be too easy. Right. The unknown future rolls towards us. I face it for the first time with a sense of hope, because if a machine, a redacted, can learn the value of human life, maybe we can too.
Blade Runner.
No, not Blade Runner.
No?
Sarah Connor.
Ah, Terminator.
From the second one, movie.
Sure,
yeah, sure. Because I can't remember how the first one finishes. Well, Arnold was never good in the first one. So, yeah, it has to be the second one.
There you go. I don't know why I thought that was Blade Runner. Replicant. I thought the word you removed was replicant.
Yes. Is Harrison Ford a replicant or not? We can never know.
Yeah, he is.
I have no idea. If everybody was a replicant in that?
Sure.
What if humans didn't exist anymore?
Yeah. I can see that.
I feel like we're in a uni course now. All right. Last one. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Classic movie. Probably haven't seen it.
The Three Amigos.
It's Casablanca. Yeah. Humphrey Bogart's character.
No, I haven't seen it. It's on that list of things that I should
Me
have
too.
Watched.
I've never watched it. Never ever seen it. Have you seen a Humphrey Bogart movie ever?
Maybe.
I think I've seen Sabrina because Audrey Hepburn's in it.
The Sting is about as far as I go back.
Cool.
I'm a big fan of that. I watched that a bunch with my dad when I was a kid, so I'll always happily sit down and watch that one.
Would he watch it again?
The Sting?
Isn't your dad Isn't your dad one of those
He only watches
saying,
the same five
movies over and over. He's happy to rewatch.
Yeah, it'll sneak in there sometimes.
Yeah, fair enough. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Buongiorno.
So Italian.